You're listening to the Restoration Church Podcast, and guess what? We are finally gathering once again at full capacity at the Lyric Theater, and you can find out everything you need to know at restorationlex.com/this week. You can give, you can fill out a Connect card, find out about safety guidelines, home churches, and follow along on our worship guide, whether you're joining us in person or on the live stream. However or whenever you are joining us, we are so grateful that you are. So let's jump into this week's message. Here we go.
Over the last 11 weeks, we did an 11-week series. Wow. We've been talking about what Jesus says is the center of our faith. What Jesus says everything hangs on. Matthew 22, he says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment, and the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments, meaning everything in the Bible, everything that is in our faith boils down to loving God and loving neighbor. Discipleship, learning from Jesus, at its core is learning how to love. So we've zoomed in over these last 3 weeks on what is local. Hannah was talking about this. We talked about racism and poverty. If you missed those past 2 weeks, I encourage you to go back and listen or watch them on Facebook. Incredibly important information, incredibly helpful information as we understand the needs of how we meet and love our neighbors. And today, we're talking about refugees. I don't know if you knew this, but in 2019, it was recorded that Kentucky ranked 5th in refugee arrivals in the entire nation. Between 2015 and 2019, 1,928 refugees settled in Lexington. They represented countries like the Democratic Republic of Congo, Syria, Ukraine, Iraq, Cuba, Bhutan, Burma, Afghanistan, and Rwanda. And the vast majority of these arrivals, they came from the Democratic Republic of the Congo. So as followers of Jesus here in Lexington, seeking to be faithful in loving God and loving neighbor and loving God by loving our neighbor, we've been called, it says in the scriptures, to make disciples of all nations, right? The reality is that the nations have come to us. We've been called to go, but God has given us an opportunity, a gift in the fact that the nations themselves are right around the corner from us, sometimes living right next door. There's something I want us to hear. I want you to hear from me. The American church desperately needs to see their faith through the eyes of our global brothers and sisters. I mean, right now, Taliban is about to take over. I read this morning someone who knew some folks over there, some house churches in Afghanistan. They were warned by the Taliban, hey, we're coming, and you know what's going to happen. And they said, we're staying. And we're calling persecution masks. We desperately, desperately, desperately need the perspective of the church globally. Because I have news for you. The church here in America is in decline. The church in Asia, the church in India, the church in Afghanistan, the church in all these places we're talking about, the church outside of America, South America, it's growing. It's growing. It's growing. It's growing. So we have an opportunity not only to know more, but to learn from how we could do this. Now, I understand, too, as these last few weeks have been, when we talk about stuff like this, it's political. In some senses, to talk about these things in church. There's not many topics that will bring more division than talking about things like immigration. But we have a biblical mandate to love our neighbors. We have a biblical mandate to love our global neighbors when they make their home among us. We see this in Leviticus 19. Verses 33 and 34 say, when a foreigner resides among you in your land, do not mistreat them. The foreigner residing among you must be treated as your native born. Love them as yourself, for you were foreigners in Egypt. I am the Lord your God. What Yahweh is reminding his people here is, remember, you used to be in exile. You used to be the foreigner. And so allow that to center your heart in how you love other people. As followers of Jesus Christ, we are exiles in a strange land. First Peter says we're foreigners, we're exiles, we are a holy nation within every nation that we are a part of. So no matter how this gets labeled politically, we are called to love our neighbors no matter where they come from. Amen? I think we can land on that. So today I want to introduce my friend who is the real Pastor Justin, Justin Birigani. So why don't you come on up? Let's welcome him. Justin's a pastor of Word of Hope International Ministries, which is about to get going. It's a Congolese congregation here in Lexington. But he's been a pastor for, I believe, over 20 years now, right? And and so we're excited to have you here. We're honored to have you here and just learn from you. So I would love to just first of all, just tell us a little about your story, your journey here and your journey in ministry and what God's been doing. So.
Yeah, good morning. I'm Justin, the other Justin, and I'm not trying to be like him because I have a lot of accent. It's not just one accent. Really apologize if you don't hear correctly. I have some people you can... use your Google translation to try to see what I'm trying to say. But before I introduce myself, when I was reading about how to love, which is a big topic, I was inspired by a greetings from South Africa. There is a community called the Zulu. Here in the U.S., when you say hi, you say, how are you? In India, we say, namaste. In Swahili, we say, jambo. But that community in South Africa, they have a special way to greet, which define the really love we are talking about. They say, sawubona, which means, I see you as you are. Then the other, you respond by saying, yebo, sawubona, I exist for you. You cannot love without seeing. Saubona, S-A-W-U-B-O-N-A. It's not an English word, but it means a lot. Saubona, yebo, saubona. I see you the way you are. Yebo saibona, I exist for you. There is no I without we.
There's a test at the end, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay.
Good. Justin Birigani is my name, and I'm married to my wife, Claudine. We have 6 kids only. It's a blessing from God, 4 boys and 2 girls. I have been in the U.S. for the last 10 years. I came as a refugee, which is not a nickname or a family name or a title. It's bad situation. To be called a refugee, I will talk about that. But I'm a refugee. And I'm not ashamed to say I'm a refugee. Not by choice, but that's what happened.
That's good. So you have a particularly lived experience of what it's like to be a refugee, what it's like to come over and be in a culture that's not like your own and even live out your faith in a culture that's not like your own. I know you're one of the ones that often greets people at the airport, the very first person that comes. When they come down the elevator, they see you. And just talk about what that experience is like as with hardships and what is it like? Just help us to understand.
All right. Your pastor can give a tough question. Yeah, it's a blessing to know my friend Justin. Thank you for asking the question. I'll try to answer the question. But let me clarify this. Before I go to specific answer about hardship, when you read in English, I don't want to go in the Bible, but from the book of Genesis up to Revelation, there have been a situation where people were forced to leave their place. Adam and Eve, what happened to them? They left their place, they become strange. You go until the last book of Revelation where John was sent to one of the places called the island of Patmos. He was a strange there. But with politics, they changed the name. We became refugee. Refugee is very different from immigrant. Refugee is someone who is forced to leave his country because of civil war, genocide, massacre, and the other type of bad things. Then you lose your country, you lose your identity. When you go to a foreign country, they called you refugee because you don't have your own home, you don't have, any kind of identity. So to answer your question, we have here refugee and immigrant. Why they are different? Immigrant are people who come overseas, maybe because of business, they get married to people from different country, they come here for a job, but particularly refugee have a specific situation which is different from other type of group moving to different countries. I just want to clarify that because some people, they say we have a lot of immigrants, we have refugees, they are completely two different group of people. They may have come from different same place, but they're completely different because one prepare the departure, the other one is forced to leave. It's like eviction without notice. And I think Jesus was a refugee one day, although the Bible say stranger, foreigner, but he was a refugee when he was running for his life to where? Nazareth, I think, when they want to kill him. So I'm not comparing refugee to Jesus, but sometimes it does happen. So the question of refugee hardship, it's very, very, very long list. I'm not going to try to say every single hardship they go through, but without maybe going far, the first problem is language. Why two Justin cannot speak the same English? Because English is not my language. I was not lucky, although we have the same mom, but I was not lucky to be educated the same level. So the first struggle is language, trying to make new friends, zero income, no community, no friends, no access to social services, no transportation, all kind of basic needs, which some of you, when you are born, you don't even think that is a problem. But for us as a refugee, it's a major problem. So life is tough for refugee to get adjusted in a new place. So that's what we went through. But we thank God, we are blessed. We had friends, American community from Lexington, Church Lake Restoration, and other churches and other group, they are very more than welcoming. Hospitality is huge. Let me say, we thank you a lot. And that's how we get connected with my friend Justin. There was a family which was, I think that was like 5 years ago. It was a family which had a huge need. And then I connect the family to Justin. They start helping them from the basic. And then until the family was able to have their own income. So the small step each member of the community is making to help refugees or stranger, it's really making a big difference in their life. Thank you very much. On behalf of my community, we really appreciated what you are doing. Saubona. Ebo Saubona. I see you as you are, and we exist for you.
Yes. I remember that family, and you know, when we say just the basic necessities, we're talking about an empty apartment, finding beds, finding clothes, finding, I mean, we're finding literally the things that we take for granted on a daily basis as they enter the country for the very first time. But one of the things I've noticed so much when being around you and just when we've had worship gatherings even together, we did a night of worship together one time, and we're hoping to have a choir here today. They're not going to be able to come today, but they're going to come in the future and sing for us. But there's just a sense of joy and gratitude in your community. There's just an overwhelming sense of joy.
Yeah.
Tell us about that.
Yeah, well said. I forgot to apologize. I was supposed to come with a group of singers, but there was some logistic issue which we need to make sure we are all on the same page, so we have to postpone. It's called executive decision made by the two Justins. Yeah, so some people are not happy, but when you are a leader, you need to take some risk and make some executive decision. So it was based on some of the logistics, which maybe we'll fix, and in the future, they will come here. The question is about how refugees, people with hardship, people with less possession or who don't have much, still have that joy. For me, I'm not maybe saying on behalf of the majority refugees, one thing, refugees are people who are given second chance. Second chance means when you survive from war, killing, and other stuff from your own country, and then God gives you a chance to live again and to save, one of the things we are required is to give back thanksgiving to God. So with our second chance, our joy is built on the foundation of we have to give thanksgiving to God because we are given second chance. That's not particular for refugees. Even when you wake up, it's a second chance. That's why we all have to give back thanks to God, and that's the key foundation of our joy. It's because every day we see God giving us second chance, and also with new life, integration, and also new friends. That is really something we, I can say, which make the majority of refugees to be happy, to have joy, and if you don't stop me, I can talk.
Preach.
That is how we build our hope. Mainly, second chance to give God, to give back thanksgiving to our Creator.
That's good. This reminds me of Paul's words. I think 2 Corinthians, where he says, having nothing yet possessing everything. And he writes so much about contentment and joy, and you get to see that. You get to model that for folks like us who so often take it for granted. You mentioned something real quick I wanted to ask. Coming from, you know, often from war and things like that, how many from your community are coming here just directly out of refugee camps where they're living over there and then they're coming here? Is that common?
Very common. I can say 98% of the refugees, they are coming from the camp. And then when we talk of camp, it's completely different to the camp in the U.S. The camp in the U.S., it's when you want to enjoy and share. For us, it's really when we talk about camp, I don't want you to hear about that camp. It's a hell. So it's really, really, really very bad. So the big challenge is that majority of refugees who are coming here from the camp, they've been living there for 20 years, 25 years. So the process, when you leave your country, the host country, like in the transition, they will put you in a camp. The whole resettlement process takes years and years, question and question, question and question. It's not just like a kind of like overnight something. The process is still too long. That's why some of the challenge of refugees, they have a long-term trauma. When they act like not normal people, you have to connect that with the background, what they went through, seeing their relative being killed, passing over 10 to 15 years in a camp, hardship, all the kind of confusion, the mind become like not functioning in a good way. Like in my community, the one I lead with the Word of Hope ministry, we have several people who have mental illness. And that was caused by the time they spent in a camp. We try to help them. Sometimes it's working, but sometimes it's not working. So it's really majority comes from the camp and with that type of life.
Yeah. And so it's just amazing to think about. You're driving by, you're living by folks who have come out of that level of trauma, and they're living right here in our city. And we just are most of the time unaware. But, you know, we're obviously not without hope. And, you know, you've been leading a Congolese congregation now for 8 years, right?
Yeah.
8 years
mm-hmm.
here in Lexington. And recently God's been stirring some things and getting to talk to you about that and getting excited. Tell us about what's happening next and tell us about how we might help out with that.
Yeah, thank you for asking that question. I will try to explain what's happening. We have been hosted by Crossroads for us. I have so many friends here from Crossroads, but we were a different kind of like entity which we're meeting, not because we don't like to be part of the big family, but the language barrier. There is a joke in, I think it's in English. There was a father who had a son, and you know, when the kids go to school, when they come back from school, as a parent, we need to help kids with homework. So imagine a parent who cannot speak English, then they send a homework for geometry, math, and very complicated. When the son took back the homework, so the teacher gave 2-0, two, not one, 2-0. Then when the parent asked, why the teacher give you 2-0, the son said, one for you and one for me. Because as a parent, you didn't fulfill your responsibility. So with that, we have been working to see how we can help the community who I can call unreachable. People who cannot access services, so we established a ministry where we'll try to help them with some area. We cannot cover all the areas, but we have a priority to, we had started before the corona, the COVID, whatever, an ESL, English as second language. I don't know, we call it second or because it can be third for some people, or seven, they speak more than 10. So, but let's agree that that's what is approved by the government, is a second language. I'm not going to go against the government. Anyway, so that's one of the priority we are trying to do in the ministry. We have two hands. One is the spiritual hand, which is to help people to continue to worship, to hear the word of God. But at the same time, outside the service, what can we do? We have the ESL. We have job, like helping people to get job. We have a list of different kind of helping people to be stable in their economics, like when they start working, how to save, how to go to the next level. Things you may feel it's very simple, but for the refugees, it's tough. So that's what the ministry is going to be focusing on, the spiritual life, but also the outside the building, how we can continue to provide services, ESL, helping people with homework. The example I say, so we can reduce the zero to from 20 to 10, at least the number can change. But we cannot do all this without your help. We need volunteers. We need people who can help. We need your support, your prayer, your connection with community so that we can apply the 9-11 weeks of teaching on love. It's not just maybe to fill our heads or our heart. We need to practice that one. Number two, with that, recently, a few weeks ago, it's a very simple example. You just step. There is a group of people who came from the church. They said, we are not going to take our breakfast in a normal way. We want to go somewhere. So they met our group on Laundry Love, which is the place where people do laundries and then they connect. It was amazing. So that missing one breakfast, but the spiritually, the spirit was full of love. Those small things can change life for many people, both sides, not on our side, but we want also in whatever capacity we have, we can share our story and continue to be the same community. In brief, we have a big plan to reach more people, to connect more people, and the purpose is to continue to build a multinational, multicultural kingdom.
Amen.
That's the purpose. No one is chosen, no one is left. The kingdom, the heaven, we need to practice the heaven here in Lexington by building a multination, multicultural, multicolor, different language. It's very clear in the Bible. They say we'll speak so many languages. There will be a time I will challenge you also. We don't know what will happen there if they speak my language. I love this brother of mine. Can we give... So that's what I'm trying to say. The big picture and the big purpose of that ministry, the Word of Hope ministry, is to try to build a multicultural, multinational kingdom by integrating the refugee and the immigrant to the host community, which I feel we have a wonderful community in Lexington, outside Lexington, which their hands are open to welcome the strange and try to help them to go to heaven. You can give people money, you can help people, but if you are not helping them to go to heaven, can I hear amen?
I knew when you stood up, you're about to preach. I was getting excited.
Yeah,
there.
That's a problem I have. I'm a preacher, so don't be surprised if I start speaking in tongues. So,
bring it. Let's do this.
Yeah.
Yes.
So, how to work together? I'm always in contact with Pastor Justin and some other friends. I see some people. My contact is very available. We will always work together to make sure we share what the need we have, and also we can bless one another. Some of the needs are on a macro level. The other one are small individual families. But there is nothing wrong to take one step, as I was saying, just the skipping like one breakfast on Saturday. That was huge. That was huge for me and for my community. Those who were there, I can see some people who were there, but next time I think we'll have more than what we had. I'm not saying you should come back, but if you feel the Lord is leading you to do that, do it, and you'll be blessed. And you can have what they call, if you miss breakfast and they have breakfast mixed with lunch, how do you call it?
A new brunch?
Brunch. You can have a brunch instead of having that breakfast. Really appreciate it.
That's a very American thing, yes. And what he's talking about, Laundry of Love, is we did this with our Love Your Neighborhood weekend a few weeks ago, where We just go to this laundromat in Woodhill. Well, there's a lot of refugees that live in that neighborhood, and go in, pay for their laundry, and sit there and talk and meet them and go for a couple hours. And it's just a really amazing, simple ministry, just to connect and provide a very basic need for folks right here in our community. So we'll be definitely doing that more for sure. It was a blast when we got to do that. One thing I'll just add here is you mentioned we want a multinational community. We want heaven in Lexington. Revelation 7:9 talks about this picture of heaven. It says there's every nation, every tribe, every people, every language. And what I want you to hear in that is that when we go to heaven, we don't lose those things. God intentionally gave us his image in these nations and tribes and peoples and language uniquely. And the beauty of heaven is not that we just become this amalgamation of everyone, is that everyone united in Christ is worshiping together as one people. And we want to model that on earth as it is in heaven. Amen? So today we have an opportunity to bless Justin and his new community as well. We're going to take up a love offering. Obviously, we don't have plates because we don't want to pass COVID with an offering plate with it, just in case. So we haven't been doing that since we came back. But we do have giving online. You can go on to our website, restorationlex.com/give. You can, I think, scan the QR code. You can also text to 84321. There's a special drop down right there. And I believe it is Words of Love? Gifts of Love that's right there on our website. I just encourage you to give towards. This is going towards their new community and the work they are doing, not only just helping people spiritually, but what we're talking about with ESL and with job training and help. And those are two things that definitely are ways you can step in and help out with English second language training, English 10th language training, and also job training as well. So Justin would love to talk to you about how to get you involved in that. Here's what I'd love to do to close before Hannah leads us, is just pray for you and pray for your community. And then after that, will you pray for us
very much
in one of the, five languages that you speak? and pray over us as a community that God would help us partner with you to see on earth as it is in heaven. Father, thank you for my brother here. Thank you for his witness, his perseverance, his diligence in light of, God, all he's been through, all his community has been through. Thank you, Jesus, for his witness to us and to this city. Thank you for his words today. Lord, I pray over word of hope. I pray for provision for his family. I pray, Lord, that you would open doors that we can't see right now. I pray, God, you would give them absolutely everything that they need. And Lord, do it in part through us, through our generosity, that we might help as well, Lord. Open doors for him. I thank you and pray for protection over his family. I pray protection over him as a pastor navigating so many different things in this world right now. Would you encourage him? Would you bless him, God? Would you give him a renewed sense of calling and courage in the midst of this difficult days we find ourselves in right now? We are brothers and sisters in Christ, us and Word of Hope. And Lord, I can't wait to see what you do. I can't wait to see what you do as we continue to walk towards your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We pray this in Jesus' name.
Mungu Baba, katika jina la Bwana wetu Yesu Kristo. Tuko mbele zako Baba, na kushukuru kwa mchana wa leo. Mungu muumba wa mbingu na nchi. Jehova Jile, jemadari mwenye nguvu, Baba wetu. Nasema asante sana kwa kanisa hili. Nasema asante sana kwa uongozi. Naomba baraka kwa kila mmoja. Ubariki kila mmoja kazi za mikono yao. Mahali wanapofanya kazi, uwasaidie, uwabariki, neno lako liendelee. Father, I thank you for this opportunity. I thank you for this community. I thank you the way you have made this connection. There are so many things we can do together. Bless each and every one, starting from the leadership. They are called to serve you, to reach more people. There are people who are called to be missionary. Then we have a mission here. I want you to send them to the right place. There we have people who need to know Jesus. I pray so that you can continue to bless this place. As everyone who walks in will feel your presence. I pray for their individual families. I pray for what you are doing in particular life. I pray for couples. I pray for young ones. I pray for our city, the hospitality of Lexington. Continue to bless our city. Continue to bless the Resurrection Church. Continue to bless each and everyone so that one day we'll all be together and give back thanksgiving to you, Lord. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, Hannah's going to lead us now as we sing in the band. So let's go ahead and just lead us.